I did that.
I think we are all very happy to have the chance to come together today with a subject matter which is not so often discussed in the temple, but is a question in how much she can remain more or less on her own. So I would like to talk a little bit about it. Let me just put some I thought we would do it like this. I would read a little bit from the scriptures just to have a nice setup together. Then we can see if there are any questions. I already have two questions which I have prepared myself for. I think they come from Malachi. But I thought it nice to have a little spiritual get together. Please repeat after. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 I would like to speak on three dimensions of being unmarried. As a Mataji, or being single. The first dimension is an immature dimension, and the other two are increasingly more mature. The first dimension of staying single as a Mataji is where you consider that a man is really not a very desirable personality as of such, those of you who have been married know that men have their limbs, and after all, the material body is really a person. This is called the cobra bar for ladies who think that the man is dangerous for my spiritual life. It's not so mature as I have said, but it is certainly a vision. And I would like to quote two examples from Shastra for this vision. The second is a reason to stay single is that one feels that if I stay single, I will not be so entangled and be more free to serve Lord Krishna. This is already much, much higher. In other words, you are single in order to avoid entanglement. That's the second reason. The third reason for a woman to remain single is that she feels, I only have one heart to give, and that should be given to Krishna. Especially as a Mataji who is more sensitive, we know we really only have one heart to give. So, I want to first of all speak about the point that when attachments to a man come up, it's really illusory because the male body is a lump of ignorance. I want to talk on this, which is not a mature, the most mature vision. When you find your mind going like attachment, you can keep this shloka of Queen Rukmini Devi in your mind. A woman who fails to relish the fragrance of the honey of your lotus feet becomes totally befooled and thus she accepts as her husband or lover a living corpse, covered with skin, viscous is usually used for cats, nails, head hair and body hair, and filled with flesh, bones, blood, parasites, ficus means stool, mucus, bile and air. So this shloka, which you will find in the 60th chapter of the 10th canto, verse number 45, says, a woman is foolish if she rejects the real husband, which is Krishna, who is Krishna, and accepts a living corpse instead. Huh? This is like really the cobra part, the intense, viscous and stale, and does not smell extremely pleasant. Let us now dive deeply and with a smile of appreciation on our lips into the purport. Rukmini said, on the authority of the scriptural statement, Savai Patis Yat Akuto Bhayam Bayas Bhayam, he indeed should become one's husband who can remove all fear. It's an interesting point. Can a normal husband remove all fear? This is a question. Only Krishna can. You alone, Krishna, qualify as the real husband for all women at all times. An ordinary husband's body is covered on the outside by skin and hair. Otherwise, it would become overwhelmed with flies and millions of other insects who are attracted by the foul smell and other offensive qualities of the body. And inside, the husband's body is filled with blood, bones, stool, flesh, bile, worms, and phlegm. She who thinks of this living corpse as my husband and worships him is simply a fool. Hare Krishna. Why are they so foolish? The honey sweetness of your lotus feet and the fact that you possess an eternal transcendental body full of knowledge and bliss is well known. Yet due to being whipped up into a tempest by the reciters of the Puranas, foolish women reject you. They take other things instead. You know, the Puranas may sometimes encourage, you must marry when you are a lady, but this is compared to with a tempest. Tempest means a storm which covers our vision so that we can't see the real fact that a husband is someone who can deliver us from fear. That's the meaning of pati. He is delivering us from fear, but only really mundane husband cannot do this. Only Krishna can do it. These are strong words in the early afternoon, but this is Queen Rukmini. If you want to read it again, 10th canto, 60th chapter, text 45. So this is one reason to stay single, to think only Krishna can protect me from fear. An ordinary husband is simply not able to do this by all means. Now, I would like to give a second reason from the Bhagavata, which is the entanglement in family life, which may be a difficult, it's usually quite entangling. This story is described in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavata, 7th chapter. You will find it around verse 60. I will read this in from a lecture of Govinda Maharaj. A pigeon, do you know, understand pigeon? Yeah? A pigeon and his wife lived in a tree in a forest. They deeply loved each other. Completely attached to each other in body and mind, they could not bear to be separated for even a moment. This attachment for an inanimate form is a perversion of the real love of the jiva for the Lord. Actually, all creatures are always craving for love of God. Forgetting the Lord, the living entity becomes attached to dull matter. So, distracted from the real divine love, these two pigeons were living happily. Being faithful to each other, they used to sit together, they traveled together, they played together, they talked together, they ate together, and they slept in the forest together. The sense-bewildered pigeon was completely at the command of his wife's every wish. Here again, this relationship is described from the perspective of the male, because mostly male readers would read this text, but you can understand here some deep attachment going on and a great entanglement. Over a period of time, the two had children. The pigeon couple enjoyed the babbling of their children and derived immense pleasure from watching and playing with them. The Bhagavatam describes, their hearts were bound to each other by affection. In this way, the foolish birds, completely bewildered by the illusory energy of Lord Vishnu, continued to take care of the young offspring who had been born to them. One day, while playing and looking for food in the forest, the pigeon children were caught in a hunter's net. The pigeon couple reached there almost at the same time, and they were horrified to see the pitiable condition of their little children trapped inside the net. Hearing their forlorn cries, "Whoop, whoop, whoop," the mother pigeon became distressed and desperate, and under the influence of Vishnu Maya, she started crying loudly. As she tried to rescue her children, she lost her balance and got caught in the net along with her children. Seeing his wife and children in such a helpless condition, the father pigeon also started crying. The end of his priceless children and cherished soulmate was too disturbing for him to endure. And now you will see how the entanglement is going on and how they have been diverted really by this so-called love. Alas, just see how I am now destroyed. I'm obviously a great fool, for I did not properly execute pious activities. I could not satisfy myself, nor could I fulfill the purpose of life. My dear family, which was the basis of my religiosity, economic development, and sense gratification, is now hopelessly ruined. The pigeon cried out, "Oh creatures, look at my hopeless condition. Just see how I am suffering due to my insatiable desire for sense pleasures. I am now completely shattered. My duties as a householder, Grihastadam, have been ruined. Alas, being alone and broken with the passing away of my loyal and obedient wife and children, I no longer desire to live." Saying this, the foolish and desperate pigeon then jumped into the hunter's net to follow his family. This means real entanglement. It's not just physical, but it's mentally entanglement. It is said in the Bhagavata, the doors of liberation are opened wide to one who has achieved human life. But if a human being simply becomes devoted to family life, like the foolish bird in this story, then such a person is to be considered as one who has climbed to a high place only to trip and fall down. Can you understand this example? that we have attained the human form of life, so that the doors of liberation are wide open, waiting for us. But if we have come so high and now become entangled in family life, then we are like the pigeon who has climbed up a ladder simply to fall down. O King, for the creatures, heaven and hell are similar to joy and suffering. Heaven is joy, hell is suffering. Both joy and suffering come to affect the creatures uninvited. Thus, knowing this, the conscientious man neither craves for happiness nor avoids suffering. This shloka, I do not wish to dwell so much on this shloka. Now my last point is about, and this was about entanglement in family life, and the last is about you only have one heart to give. I think you all know I have said this often. Prabhupada used to often talk with his disciples about the question of but don't all women have to get married, because they have more feeling of being needing protection. One devotee of you, one of you, has very kindly enlightened me the other day. She said that you must understand the Mahajis have more the feeling, you must have some feeling of security, some protection. It seems to be clear. We have heard this from the Vedic scriptures and many examples. And therefore, I think all of you sometimes have this feeling that okay, I can see that marriages are sometimes tangling, and look at and you can also think that the male body is to become attached to the male body is really not very sensible. But you may think, what about this protection part? Isn't it that this may come? I know from talking to many Matajis over the years, and I think it is a valid point, but I will address this if you have questions, I will talk a little bit about when it's good to think about marriage also, because that's also an option. But now I will talk on that it's good to, when it's good to stay single. This is my subject. So I will. Prabhupada used to once he said, and I can't find this quote any longer, but I remember it. I was reading it. That the spiritual, that the Mahaji can feel a sense of protection when she is surrendering to her spiritual master. That is the sense of protection for a Mahaji, and then she does not need to have the feeling to go to a mundane husband. This is what I have heard him saying. Another time, Prabhupada was discussing this one devotee about this question, should all women be married, and he said the best solution is they chant. And then he added what he considered as the very best solution for both men and women. If one can remain without marriage, that is first class. Women also, what is the use of this material husband? Make Krishna the husband. Krishna is prepared to become everything. Love him as a husband, love him as a son, love him as a friend. Krishna is prepared. This is an an entry in Haridas, Harishoriprabhu's transcendental diary, it must be July 6th or something, 1976, if you wish to find. I can't say for sure, but the next entry is July 7th, 1976. So you can find it. He goes by time. So these are reasons to be single. First of all, when you become attracted to a man, which is happening, it's natural, then you can think about this point of Rukmini Devi quite intense, isn't it? A little while ago I asked the Ayurvedic doctor what is the explanation for karma, lust in Ayurveda. He gave a very interesting definition. He said it's a misuse of knowledge. You know actually he is a material body, and you know what that means, but when you become attracted, it's a misuse of knowledge. You're using it in the wrong direction. It's a very interesting definition, a very clinical definition, I find. A misuse of knowledge, or you could say a misdirection of knowledge. You're not attracted to the soul, you are an eternal soul, you're not attracted to the soul, but you're called to the material body. This is one thing. Then the next step is to fear the entanglement. Especially as a mother, it means a lot of unromantic work, household ashram. Not every household ashram is as spiritual as Manjulali's household ashram was, which was a very service-oriented thing, but they're not taking care of the house. If there are children, then to take care of the children. The whole year you cannot rest properly. I always say when someone asks me, well, you have to love children so much that you are prepared to not sleep for a year, that you are prepared to not to wash their things for many years, that you are prepared to suffer the heartbreak when they go out of the house and maybe decide differently. It's a lot of love which you need in order to be a loving mother and a loving spouse. A lot of it. And the last is, this is my only point. I really can say this from my heart. We only have one heart to give. It's really, this for me is the strongest reason. And I personally think, as a spiritual devotee, and you are all spiritual minded devotees, it's not good. This, for me, is the strongest reason. And I personally think, as a spiritual devotee, and you are all spiritual-minded devotees, it's not good to make a decision based on, the material situation, that I don't like to be together with a mundane to the material body and think that's the husband. I really think that is a very low class meditation for a spiritualist, you know. Or I don't want to be entangled. Better is some positive meditation. I have only one heart to give to, and I want to go to Krishna. I really think that's very important. Whenever you base your life on a negative definition of reality, you know, like I have joined because I don't want to suffer in the material world, you know, like this. This is not very inspiring. But if you think I have become a devotee because I wish to attain self-realization and love of Krishna, this has a totally different energy, isn't it? And this is also the reason for being a single woman. Don't think I'm a single woman because I don't think that a husband is a mountain of gold. Don't stay a single woman because you think your husband is a pile of stool and bones and skin. Don't stay a single woman because you feel I don't want to entangle myself. Just stay because you say I want Krishna. This is much better. It's a spiritual orientation. This has light. This has Krishna consciousness. This has culture. That's all. Now I would like to address, just I would like to make a little pause for your questions, and then I would like to address two questions which were posed to me. Do you have any questions at this stage, Manjula?
So, they are completely blocked in the mind, and they cannot think about anything except about me. And they are paralyzed. They are conscious of the activity, and it's so painful to see. It's painful to also to, because one even cannot help the person is suffering so much. A person has some illusion that by making this step, all problems will be gone and everything will be alright, and materially, spiritually, mentally. And even if one tries to tell something, then everything is rejected in the beginning. And I have to do
it. And then he has to laugh. Have you made this experience also with someone? In conversation, yeah.
What does it mean? It's locked. It's fixed mind on this and nothing else. But why does it come from and not from?
I think, let me ask the question again so that we can be very sure that we got this question. Manjulari says that she has often seen that once the idea enters the mind of a woman that she feels she has to marry, she is not open for any other possibility. In fact, she appears to be a little blocked. Why is this block there? I personally think the block is there because of an unfulfilled need. Let me give you a better example of an unfulfilled need so that you can understand more what we mean. When a person is really hungry, I mean really hungry, he will only care about eating. Or when a person really has to go to the bathroom, you can say, "There's a nice kid on the starting pole." or you can say, "Let us eat prasadam." But the person says, no, I'm not open for any discussion or any program. I will first go to the bathroom now. Maybe you have been in such a situation, biological situation, where you We are blocked in this way. I have often been blocked in this way. You know, where you preach and preach and preach and preach until the need is really very big. As Radhanath Maharaj, she says, it's first a call of nature, then it develops into a scream of nature. And then finally, it is Beschleunigung, then it's a roar, he said. Then it's a roar of nature. Ein Brüllen der Natur. That means there is a real need. And in the Mataji mind, such a need can come for relationships. It's mostly relationships which the Mataji wish, talking and emotional security and so on. And it can come in the life. My suggestion is before it comes, before the call of nature comes becomes a roar of nature, go and take care of it in a controlled environment. You know, this example is very useful. You know, when we feel something, then we should after some time go before we come in a situation where we have no mind for anything else than the bathroom. So when there is a feeling of need of security and relationship, then take care of it in a controlled way with nice devotee friends, with nice and also think of that relationship with where you can feel protected, these spiritual relationships. Before it comes to this. But then once it's a roar of nature, I mean it's in such an unfulfilled need, such a strong need, then this situation which you have described seems to be very common. That one is blocked. One is not ready to listen to anything else because it has become such a big need. Aha, you mean, this is a very good observation. It's when this need is felt by the person, it's also clear that she cannot fulfill the need. In other words, it's not so fast that someone turns up who is a suitable husband or suitable man, and then this person suffers so much. But I found out then it's good. If you wish to help, you have to offer some alternative relationships. Therefore, in civilized cultures, men, they associate with men, women with women, and then they don't have this need, and they are not so totally hungry for each other, then some mishap happens, maybe unwanted children or whatever is the result. So this take. When this person is blocked, you can say, yes, it might be a good idea, let's see what Krishna arranges, but in the meantime, tomorrow I'm eating Mahaprasada, and it's so much, I cannot possibly finish it alone. Please come with your hungry stomach to my room and eat Mahaprasada with me. You can say like this. And help the person like this. Yes, I know what you say. I know what you say, Manjulati, you are totally correct. But as I said, and as you said, it doesn't go so brittle, it doesn't go so fast. Then, after some time, the person will realize, Okay, I have now for one whole week desired intensely to have a husband, but the husband did not come by. Now I have to continue with my life in some ways. I have to eat, or I have to look left and right. That's the only thing. But once there's a block like this, which like you have mentioned, it's good to respect it in some ways. It is there because of a real existential need, and somehow we have to help that person. I have seen this with one of my disciples. She was not ready for anything else. Then, you know, she would say to me, "Please do not preach to me now." I mean, she's very. I had a very nice. I still have a very nice relationship. And that relationship was open, so that she could say such a thing without being hurting or funny and so on. But she just implored me, "Please don't preach to me in another way. I'm sorry. At this moment, I just can't and don't want to hear it. I'm such a state of need." You know, when you have often children's intelligence are blocked, and educators say when a children's intelligence is blocked, you have to divert the child from such a thing which is painful to the child, and give it something else to do. Like the child will be there, I want, and there's at this moment no chance to supply this, what the child wants. Then you have to give something else instead, and then the child will, you know, the child may sit in the room and, I want a tractor. And you go with the bell outside the room, ling, 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 ling. The child hears it, "I want a tractor." Ling, 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 ling. "I want a tractor. I only want..." Ling, 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 ling. The child will go curiously around the corner. What is making that sound? And then there's a beautiful toy elephant, which is a bell. This has a bell around the neck of the child. It's in place with a toy elephant the whole time. This is a human mind, which is unfortunately true with grown-ups also. So give some other relationship instead of this relationship. Give some relationship of friendship. It also can mean, let us be very frank and free here, that she is, this person is meant to marry. It's necessary for her to develop with single-minded strings of thought. Do you know that Krishna in the heart makes your decision strong at one stage, so that you absolutely can go for this decision and not be prepared to thwart. Thwart has to, thwart means to change your opinion at a certain stage. It's in the seventh canto, in the seventh chapter of the Gita, or the ninth chapter, where Lord Krishna says, "I make the determination strong in the heart of someone who wants to worship the demigods, for instance." And in the 15th chapter, he explains more universal, "From me comes knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness." I mean, that Mataji may have this thing in her mind. So if nothing works, and if she is also not very ready to have any type of relationship, then you can maybe think that this is her way now in her life, and she should go about this and fulfill this as much as possible. You know, how does someone marry? usually the desire or the determination becomes more and more crystallized. Those of you who have experience of the Grihastha Ashram in some ways, I think two devotees here have experience of it. Please think in your life. First, there was a situation where you felt, no, I really do not wish this most properly, and you come from the Brahmacharya, in the Ashram. But then as you think more and more about it, you see some need to get married, some sense, some meaning is there, because only then you can enter the Grihastha Ashram. That is a very nice friend of Lord Krishna who is actually a devotee who is taking care of the Nachlass from Viktor Frankl. Viktor Frankl was a very interesting psychologist who have found out something which we as devotees think is true. See, there are three important psychologists in the so-called Wiener Schule, the school of Vienna. The first is Sigmund Freud, the second Adler, and the third is Viktor Frankl. Freud said the driving motor of all human endeavor is karma, which appears either in a gross form, that is sense gratification, or in a sublimated form, that is you want to engage your mind in art, culture, and so on. Adler acknowledged, yes, karma or lust is an libido, says Freud, is an important driving force, but there's a second driving force which is as strong, and that is the desire for power, influence, Macht in Deutsch. Then came Viktor Frankl and said, what these psychologists have said is certainly true. Yes, a person is driven by lust and by the desire for power. Ali means, but there is a third one. A sensible person wants to see that there is a sense in what he does. Es macht Sinn. So there must be a small sense. For instance, in a marriage, if you say, I think it's senseless, you will not enter it. But if you see some sense in it, you will enter the marriage, right? And, so Viktor Frankl says, everything must make a sense. It must make a sense for me that I came to this particular place and sit on this chair. If it doesn't make sense for me, then I cannot feel comfortable. It must make a sense for me that I am traveling and preaching to many, many people. Otherwise, if it is not making a sense, I will have no energy to continue with this. Or let us say for you, it must make a sense for you to stay in Goloka Dham even after the energetic disappearance of your or departure of your husband. You must see some sense. Yes, the service of Radha Madanmohan. So he said, Viktor Frankl said, there are many small senses, but the biggest sense is to accept God and to become God conscious. Nice, isn't it? This is a motivating force, he said. So there is, when the Mataji has this, I think you were still in your question, I must marry, I must marry. She sees all her sense in life in this. And this is the womanly nature. They are constructed like this. It's a conditioned nature. It comes in a certain time, like puberty, comes, and I feel we have to respect it. When it comes so strong and nothing else works, then most probably this Mataji should get married, and we should hold her hand until the prince comes on the golden horse and knocks at her Brahmacharini ashram door and says, "You have been in my mind since 40,000 years." we must acknowledge this. I think that is necessary to because we have become a loose woman. We can try to help her to overcome her misery by ringing the bell outside of her room. You know what I mean. We can try to give some good relationships. So, by the way, this is what Mushkatskis also. Mushkatskis also say when they want to marry, they often say, when you ask them, "I didn't have meaningful relationships so far with men," and then they feel they have to marry and hope that a meaningful relationship develops. Often it does. Men and women psychologists, they can entertain each other for some time. This is my answer to your question. You have another question or a question to this point, Manjulali?
It's clear that you're not asking to go to the
What are your thoughts on this, Anandini? Yeah, it has become a raw. We should respect now, and not for you. And if the person suffers, what can we do? Well, I mean, we can help. At least you see that we're hungry after some time. So then, I don't know what to do. I have seen one person like this, very intelligent and very nice. Mataji is still wonderful, still very much engaged in Krishna consciousness. And it was so strong in her life. She would physically suffer because of this. And she still has not found a proper husband because her expectations are very high. I don't think there is such a husband that she wants available. You know, it's very high up. Patient. I remember. It was so bad. She wanted so much a husband. Ooh. When we drove through this country, I don't know. I remember, it was so bad. She wanted so much a husband. When we drove through this country, I don't want to tell the country name. She always wanted. She fainted. She could not concentrate to drink water even, and was dehydrated. She fainted. I remember then she went to the we're driving somewhere, and she was in a car, and we had to stop because she had something in the fields. And then when we came, after half an hour, she was not there. And I said, to her mother, please look there, maybe something happened to her. And she was there, she had fainted. And then we were thinking, what to do now? We are certainly do not want to lose this wonderful Vaishnavi. And we had to put her with some medicine in her nostril, some strong smell, so that she could come out back again. She just said, oh, God, couldn't hold up. This is very amazing. And I bowed down to the material energy and said, we really have now, like Anandini said, that's a raw at this moment. Yeah.
Although you will feel that the boss is that it's, yes, only really Krishna is something you should feel at heart, and it's just so clear, and it's not really, you will not feel the top. How much we are under the influence of our real karma, or
yeah.
Can
we avoid emotional attack? I mean, this feeling, or it comes, I mean, our conditioning nature is based on. Can we overcome by this feeling of yes, Krishna? Our Nandini is asking the question, if it is at all possible to overcome the conditioned nature and live in the light that Krishna is our only one. Now I want to ask the question, is it absolutely desirable to overcome it? I want to say, for many of us, also many of you, it may not be absolutely desirable to reject that calling of the conditioned nature. I think sometimes there is a time where we should seriously think about it and then make ourselves dependent on Krishna if he sends a proper husband. Because if there is a good good husband, it might be a good experience in Krishna consciousness, which we take. See, I think it would be irresponsible for me to now only say, don't marry, because of the three reasons which I gave. I think we should also look a little in the other side, in the other direction, where we ask, well, is there any benefit in marrying? And I think our pictures are full of benefits, you know, like, when it's, but I always say it must be the right person, a nice devotee of Lord Krishna who wants to serve Lord Krishna. Then I don't think for someone who has such a need that we should try to discourage, I think it would be totally immature. I think I owe this statement to a balanced presentation. Now, therefore, I think when we come into the situation, or when Mataji comes into the situation where she asks such a question, should I marry, should I not marry, and so on, then it's very good for her to go to a vertrauens person, a person of one's trust, whom one also can see as having a little bit more of a vision, and that one should speak with them about it. It can be someone who is close to us, a dear friend, who knows us well. It can also be the spiritual master, if he knows us well, as in a personal way, not just in a philosophical way. muss eine Vertrauensperson sein, a person who has our trust and who can give us some genuine and honest feedback based on observations, and then we can keep these observations in mind, which that person gives us in his or her kindness, and then we can think about it. I think it's not. See, there is a reason why this is there. This intense. I won't say attachment because it sounds in our language so material. This affinity. The Lord has created this affinity between man and woman, not only for a bad reason, that souls are entangled ad infinitum in the material world. There is also a reason that now children can come to the world and be taken care of. Anyways, I must tell you, my personal feeling is that's why I am in the ashram in which I am, that everything is so helter-skelter in this Kali Yuga, so Durcheinander. We can say that most children come from Vaishnava families. We have, I mean, if you go to America and there we have many, many more children, you can see that there are some class children. You can also have some great surprises. You know, some Vana Shankaras. I really saw some Vana Shankaras there. I thought, oh, Vishnu. But I saw also very, very exalted. So I really think that question, should someone marry or not, is a total individual one, and it's not very, we can't really speak about this in a general way. We can only talk about the principles that for some it might be natural to marry, and it's their way. This is what I personally like so much about Lord Krishna's Bhagavad Gita. He talks really for everyone. The one who is interested in jnana, he totally encourages him. The one who is interested for karma, and the one who is interested in mystical elevation. Together as ladies who are single, and we are desiring to get arguments to strengthen our determination. And so this is, I think this group, at least we think for some time we will be single, continue to be single. And therefore we talk a little bit more on the side of, yeah, einfach durchhalten, Kinder, schafft ihr schon, you know, like this. Mein July. You must say something.
About this, another slide. Yeah. I saw also that somebody has some inspiration and strong desire for something. It seems that this really has to go to it, has to
yeah.
And make experience and learn. I saw when I spoke with my mother's. So they need actually
very much
their experience for their own growth, for their experience in life, and I saw them also appreciating, although they are not maybe fully active in spiritual life now, but they appreciate much more this practice.
I had to learn this as a as someone who is acting as a spiritual guide in some devotee's life. I always thought in the beginning, let me protect people from certain experiences, which I now see from my perspective as being illusory or not necessary, and so on. But now I think in a different way. I think just like a plant has to go through different stages of growth, a human being has to go through different stages of growth. And they have to go through this. And if you rush to the place of in a person's life, say, then you do them a disfavor. I remember reading a nice story in this connection about one man who thought, let me help the caterpillar in the cocoon to come out so that he's quicker able to fly. And he cut open the cocoon, and then there was this slimy little being who was still not prepared to face the outside world. He needed more time inside the cocoon to grow and mature, and he had no chance to survive. There are many so-called spiritualists in very high positions, but inside they are really suffering a lot. They have been artificially pumped up. There are some god brothers in the sannyas ashram who are like this, who are there and who are really suffering, and they really should go into the grihastha ashram, but it's very difficult, you know, once you have made such a step. It looks socially so unsettling if another sannyasi marries and so on. So Krishna doesn't do this, that he always puts a very high ideal as the ideal for everyone. He doesn't do this. He considers adhika, and the adhika means qualification, and he says a verse to Uddhava, where at the end of the verse he says, this is my true opinion. He says, everyone should act according to his capabilities, and to not act according to one's capability is impious. It's amazing, isn't it? It's totally different than our materialistic society, where we may, for instance, like to be extremely renounced, sleep only for 4 hours a day, and you know, have a certain show outside, but inside we are becoming sick because of it. I had to face this because now I have become older, and I see my body is so without energy that it needs some time to get back to the normal life. If I just now continue to be too fast, too much traveling, too much seeing people, then now we will turn our face also to other devotees. You are sitting in the best position for meetings because I see you only, and my attention is fixed on Manjulali and Anandini. Anyone else of you have a question?
I have two questions for Krishna. Yes? One is, how can one stay in Namashami for the whole life? And one is deep devotion good for Namashami?
How can one remain a Brahmacharini for the whole life? I think one must look into the etymological understanding of the word brahmachari. It means someone who acts on the platform of Brahman, spiritual activities. It's so nice. And the word brahmachari, or its modern term brahmacharini, there is really no nothing of avoiding men, avoiding marriage, or anything of that. It means to act on the platform of Brahman. Kara means to do, and Brahma means on the Brahman level. Yes, so if you want to be a brahmacharini or a brahmachari, or if you want to, you have to act on the spiritual platform. The more you associate with the material energy, the more you will see how you will develop desires and insecurities and these things. But the more you act on the spiritual platform, this is not, you are not in danger. I have one very nice example in my mind of a Mataji who acts very spiritual, who worships her deities, who is totally related to those deities, and she really is, you know, her deities to take care of her in all emotional and other aspects. That is a very good example. So yes, for Brahma, for a spiritual minded person, it's very good to act on the spiritual platform, to act on the deity, to act on the platform of deity worship. It's very desirable. Good, who has other questions? Sadanandi. How to remain strong in one's brahmacharini life was the question. It's the same question, how to remain strong in one's spiritual life. You have to just increase the activities of the spiritual energy. In Karuna Bhavan we have this wonderful oven, and when we first light the fire, at that time the smoke is very disturbing, but we have to just make the fire stronger, then the smoke returns to the sky where it comes from. So in the same way, when a person increases his or her spiritual activities, at that time there is really a disappearance of the material energy. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur even explains this in such a wonderful philosophical way, that at this time I just cannot stop myself. I have to read it to you, although you will He says, one should consider the following. When devotees practice devotional service under the shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, they engage their ears and other senses in acts of pure devotion by hearing and chanting about Krishna, remembering him, offering obeisances and personally serving his deity form. Thus the devotees make the Lord's transcendental qualities the objects of their senses, as stated by the Lord himself. The devotees who take shelter of Krishna transcend the material modes. Then it says, which each bite of food that a person takes, three effects occur simultaneously. He obtains satisfaction, nourishment, and cessation of hunger. Similarly, surrendered souls engaged in bhajan simultaneously experience three effects: the awakening of bhakti, aiming at prema, direct manifestation of the Lord's beloved form, and detachment from material objects. And then he says, those who eat only little food can only experience these three things, nourishment, satisfaction, nourishment, and cessation of hunger, to a small degree. But if you eat a lot of food, especially at the end of Manjulali speaks, you experience full satisfaction, then cessation of hunger, nourishment, and cessation of hunger. So you must sometimes experience a lot of food. Then you have this detachment from the material energy and all the other things. Auf Seite 300 ist es. Von das muss, ja, ich muss fotokopieren. Hm? Hast du ein Fotokopierer in deinem wunderbaren Arsenal? Das ist nice. Hast du dieses Buch auch? Was hab ich für Erfahrungen? Die ganzen Kommentare von Ishwana Chakravarti. Sehe ich gerade. Leben. Kann ich leider nicht allein dieses Buch. My favorite book. So. Something else.
Und
noch Tee trinken? Meine, das war ja wirklich der absolute Tee. Wenn man schon mal Gast ist bei dir. Ja?
Something about Vaishnava etiquette, how one should behave towards a Brahmachari.
How should a Brahmacharini behave towards Brahmacharis? I can tell you the essence of the rules of how men should behave towards women. Men should behave towards women in a very sober way, and a way in which this material atmosphere of attraction cannot come up. Maybe you have noticed when you are together with me, I try mostly to talk on spiritual subjects. Have you noticed? I try to really generate an atmosphere in which one feels spiritually satisfied, and there is not a, not even a little, vielen herzlichen Dank, a little, you know, this. This energy. I understood this as a preacher, that this is my sacred duty. Because as a preacher, I've spoken so much with women. Now I'm becoming older, and most of the devotees are just much younger than me. But I noticed when I was a young brahmachari, that it's a sacred responsibility to create a spiritual safe atmosphere by choosing a subject, by being fully and realistically there. You know, either one must be not playing any, you know, just being straightforward and so on. And then you create a safe atmosphere for everyone to relax, for brahmacharis also. Because here, I think that's the best. You just must, you will feel it yourself when the atmosphere turns a little, where you just don't feel it's so spiritual any longer. You can see it by this insecure laughter, you know, when a person is out of balance, when he laughs like this, and you can see it by other indications. And, but I think then, if you are able to create such an atmosphere in your conversation, then I think you, in a situation like Goloka Dham, we should help. Also, you must know there are certain, the different types of brahmacharis. There's a brahmachari like Gaurahari who is trying to be equal-minded. So with them it's easy to talk. But then there are some who are Amaya. Then you must respect that also and don't come too close to Mr. Fanatic Brahmachari. And so the usual etiquette has been given by Prabhupada is that we serve, that we talk with the member of the opposite for service. There's a reason, in other words, why we talk. It's not just some. I always try to make this my guideline in my life. It's for service. Serve Krishna, serve the spiritual development of an individual like this. This is a Buddhist maxim. Talked as a guideline. Mm-hmm. Anyone else? Manjulali?
Service
is also that through service detachment also comes, because then there is service as a more identity consultation. Correct? The deity room has the deity forum. how do we say in English? The room for the deity. They have been the rooms of many relationship formings. Some brahmachari was there. Please wash the dishes. And Maharaji, please take care of the glass. My name is Swansea Devi Das for this morning. That was in the old times. Things were more strict. Yeah, you have to be honest. I found out you have to be honest. I only know from my experience, you have to be very honest when you start to enjoy a conversation on a different level, not on a spiritual level. If you are honest, you will know. You will feel it immediately. If you are a kapati means a cheater, well, then you will maybe feel it, but you will ignore it. And you know exactly, these don't talk for service. Yeah. They are totally in lieu of.
How long can go to somebody who is wrong the person?
You should take a medanga and immediately jump in between and start an enthusiastic loud kirtan mantra, hoping that the holy name will drive away all influences of the material energy. This is the best way. No, now I have broken my serious mood, which should not be done, but we are anyways in the, we know each other. Oh, Krishna.
Oh, please, can you tell us how?
What to do? Yes, you can. what I always do is I take a brahmachari on my side and make a walk through the shumi, through the forest, and say, Brahmachari Maharaj, Hare Krishna, the Brahmachari Hare. I'm not attached. Who said you are attached? I've only noted that when I came from the temple, the atmosphere was very upstairs. I don't know who created it, but I saw you together with Sponsor Devi Dasi. People in Brahmacharya know the problem. Like this. My good thing I do. To fall in Brahmacharya, not a problem, not a problem, just be more careful. This is I've taken many Brahmacharis aside. I've not done this with Matajis. I think Matajis should do this with Matajis. Because it's so rude. It's so rude, harsh. You know, Matajis can talk to Matajis, but if I ever talk to Matajis, I would feel I'm so harsh, and it's still soft inside, and there's some bluebells. Come to the Croatian summer camp if you want to see some not so spiritual discussions. Because this Adria in southern atmosphere. Or Italy. Okay, Malati, you are almost a liberated Manjulali, no longer the shy Manjulali. Let us see what Malati Manjulali, if she has a question. Hast du eine Frage auf dem Herzen, Malati
Manjulali? Maybe short questions?
Yes, please.
I guess your meaning is very much also on the third platform. So that example is probably just one, but I'm sure she...
There are many other examples,
we can also meditate about her thinking that she was totally single-mindedly fixed on
Krishna. Yeah, I mean, if you we took one prayer from Rukmini's prayers, which she says about the human body, what it is, the husband's body, what it is. This certainly does not, it's just one of many, many prayers, and she is an eternal associate of Lord Krishna. She heard from, imagine, she is such a good example for all Vaishnavas of developing pure varag by shravanam. Pure varag is the attachment which is purva, before the meeting. And we all have to develop a pure varag in relationship to Lord Krishna. And her pure varag was manifesting due to hearing about Lord Krishna at her father's palace, where Narada Muni frequently came and talked about the glories of Krishna. And just by hearing, she developed the desire to only have Krishna as her husband, although she was already promised to Shishupal, another man. At that time she did not know Shishupal. She must have maybe heard about him something, but she was meant to marry him and see him on the marriage day. But because she had heard about Krishna and had developed her attraction to Lord Krishna, she one day before her marriage day, she had time planning was really a little bit intense, you know. One night before her marriage to Shishupal, she wrote a letter to Krishna where she expressed herself very clearly that she wanted to be married by him. And she said, the way to do it is, you must kidnap me on my marriage day. When I come out of the Durga Mandap, the temple where I have, not Mandap, the temple where I have requested Ma for blessing, then when I come out and go to the sacrificial fire, then you should come. This is the best situation and the only one left. So the Brahman went somehow by Krishna's arrangement. He could reach Lord Krishna, who was, if you look at the map, at a totally different place of India, and Krishna came and manifested himself on her marriage day. He waited just when she, for her to come out of the temple, and when she came, I so much like this thing. She was so beautiful that the princes who were there fell down from her horses. From their horses, she looked so beautiful. And then Lord Krishna, just in the allgemein Begeisterung, in the general enthusiasm, he came with his chariot and just helped her on the chariot and just drove away with Rini Devi, although she was meant to be married on that day to Shishupal. That's wunderbar, no? So that's an example of Purvara. She had given her heart to Lord Krishna, and Krishna just accepted her and gave him to her. So you must all develop your Purvara to Krishna by hearing about Krishna. So, du bist ja die.
And my next question would be, usually we hear Prabhupada not so much speaking about women not getting married. What we usually hear is all women should get married.
Yes.
Brahmacharya should stay unmarried. And one time he even said, when he got news that young Vaishnavis get sick, he said, this is because they have no husbands. And so much of young women would be married. And when she asked us, you know, should get them all married. So, why is this prominent in our, still so prominent in our movement, that the emphasis is more giving, women are more encouraged to marry?
It's more the womanly nature to be married. It's a question of nature. If you just think of it naturally, the whole, actually if you think about it very unattached, the whole woman body is really a lot of emphasis is around this getting children, you know, this I do not know, this 3 days in each month which come, it's very much connected with children being activity. That's one thing. The whole construct of the womanly body, you have, there's really a biological, the body is made for children. There's men, yes or no, you know, they can make children, but they don't need to make children. And even the production of the shukra is not necessarily meant for children. It's for physical strength as well. So for Matajis it seems to be like this. And it's more difficult. Yeah, it's more. You need to be more spiritually oriented to do this. And it's I would say, but the women who come to Krishna consciousness are already very rare, you must admit. Where will we find Malati Manjari in this world? Only one? See, I really would feel uncomfortable in saying all the women should stay, should not marry. I really feel it's not right. What else? Malati Manjari.
I was wondering, sometimes we see elderly, unmarried women in our movement. Especially when they go towards menopause.
Menopause about the clean? Yeah.
And I find some of them have this Adunta syndrome. You know, they are a little bit strange. They have some strange habits, or compared with Krihasta women, sometimes these unmarried women are screwed
within,
up.
Habe ich auch schon
so
gemacht.
How to avoid that?
Krishna. It's a very good question. I think we must address this question. Will you give me a permission to address this question? Anandini. Another question. So I will have to ask it again. Sometimes the elderly lady, especially when they go to the menopause in the old time, when they are a little elderly, appear to be a little cultic, a little strange. How to avoid it? Strange in comparison to others. It is my firm conviction that you have to look at your psychological thing and then see if it's desirable or if it should be put away. For that, I think this can happen in two ways. Some of you had a course where you saw your own conditionings, others have good conversations with friends, it is definitely, it will happen if the sexual energies are used in one way, your personality will change in one way. If they're not used, it will come out in a different way. It's an energy which you need. So if you pull this energy upwards by focusing on Krishna, then it cannot happen. But if you don't pull it upwards, and you know, you're getting envious, or you know, all these low emotions, jealous, bitter. Ooh, bitter is the worst of mental poisoning, which many older ladies have. Then you're lost. You get really strange. It's really said in Ayurveda, you must control these mental emotions which come. They can make you sick. Do you know? I know one scientific fact about anger. If you allow anger to stay in your body, it does produce poison. There was an investigation of an angry person who's angry for a little time. If he makes like this, and the condensate of his breath is so poisonous that it can kill one Meerschweinchen guinea pig. If a person is angry for a whole hour, this is too much. Unfair, and allows himself to be carried by these emotions. Malati Manjari, he produces enough poison to kill 80 guinea pigs. Yeah, Psychologie heute, da warst du. Ja, ja. So you really have to think about your emotions, because they are in Ayurveda we understand they are bodily urges. We won't tell you what they are, you know, weinen, tears, you know. Anyways, I don't want to become so totally body conscious, passing air, all these things, you know, which immediately must be taken care of, they cannot be suppressed. It came naturally. It was you cannot suppress. If you suppress it, it's very good. This case, yeah, this is another bodily urge. Thank you very much. it must be done immediately, otherwise it must release. What?
A temple room,
not. We just go out and do it outside. Yeah. And then, but then there are emotional things like anger, fear. You think they must always be a little bit controlled. If you allow yourself to stay in anger, especially allgemeiner, they have to really conquer this bitterness. Oh, my expectations were not met. Und das killt dich wirklich. Und dann werden die richtig strange.
Isn't it very important not to suppress it, but to transform it? Because if it is already there and I just don't want to let it out, it's probably even the anger stays inside and it's even...
Yeah, it's very interesting. That's the Western... I was thinking about it when we had this Ayurvedic course. As far as the Ayurvedic Betrachtungsweise is, these are not really real, they're mental. And you can allow them to land in your brain. This brain is like a Landebahn. How do we say Landebahn in English? Like a. When you drive the airplane, just keeps a runway. You can allow them to be on the runway. Not obviously, when you have already the anger inside of you, then it may be something you have to take care of. The way it was explained made a lot of sense, that there are, you can give in to these feelings or not. Also du kannst dich darauf einlassen oder nicht. That is the Ayurvedic, do I say this properly? Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, that means the feeling is there, and actually already you can start from the very beginning, because almost come out of this fire. For example, he says you can prevent by, if you feel for love, you easily get angry when you are hungry, when you eat. And not only the water, and
I mean, the modern psychologist, I was also thinking, don't say this in the modern critical thing, because they have a different... I know you should... atmen so schnell... dann lass das Feuer runter und... I would say, because we also know of transforming this, Narottamdas Thakur, he says, the anger I will put on those who are non-devotees. The lust I will feel for Krishna Katha, I want to hear more and more. The illusion I will feel that I will not, I'm not becoming Krishna conscious. In other words, he all says different, different ways to direct it on Krishna and transform it. While we are talking, I'm looking at this. Is this the richtige Zeit? I have to be there. Oops, das ist aber jetzt. Yeah. I have to be there at 7:00, and also I was talking a long time, and I have to talk again. I need a little pause, and I want to ask Malati a little question about lunch, and please allow me to let you talk at another time. I think Manjula Lali has brought some prasadam, that we eat some prasadam together. Wonderful. Can we? Yes. We will eat, we will finish our little get together with nice prasadam. I think we should end here. You want to distribute it, Anandini? Thank you very much. It was, you can wash your hands there and then give it for all of us. Thank you very much. It was very kind of you. It's so nice to come together and discuss serious subjects, isn't it? I enjoyed it also. I was a little tired in the beginning, but I got my life back. Yeah. Yeah, association with an unmarried woman. Yeah. Yes, there is great value in like-minded association. Yes, when you are amongst Matajis and you have you are not married, then unmarried association is very useful, because you can talk about the little tips and the little tricks and the little and everything. Yes, yes, that's a very good thing. Like-minded associations always help. Please, so what you? Wonderful. It's a cultured circle, and you mostly look, and then you. So, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Devi ki jai, Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.